Christ the Lord will speak to you through His Holy Word by the power of the Holy Spirit. May your hearts be ready to have the words sink in down deep, take root, and bear fruit for His glory and for your good and for the good of His church. We turn to Ephesians 5, where we just were in our evening reading. There's an overlap with our sermon text tonight. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. And we're going to continue to be guided by the Westminster Larger Catechism, question and answer 167. This is part two of what we covered last time, and we'll finish it tonight. I'm going to read the whole catechism when we go back to it, but I'll point out to you it's really the middle section that we'll consider. The beginning and the end is what we covered last time. And this is still in the section of improving our baptism, and it closes the section on baptism as well in the Larger Catechism. Ephesians 5, verses 15 and 16. Hear the word of the Lord. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Let me read that one more time since it's a short text. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. This is how you improve your baptism. Last time in part one of this larger catechism, we looked at Galatians 5, verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. That is, if we truly are Christians, then we won't be content to just have baptism that doesn't mean anything, but rather we will improve and live out our baptism, which is the walk with and in union with Christ. With Christ, in union with Him, in communion with Him. And so we learned that improving our baptism is really could be summed up in our walk with Him. It is a walk. It is movement. And remember in the Greek we saw of Galatians 5:25, it's actually what's called a chiasm. It's more of a parallel structure, poetic structure. And it really reads something more like this woodenly in word order. If we live in the Spirit also let us walk. So we see in the middle the emphasis is it's we live in the Spirit and we walk in the Spirit. All has to be by the Holy Spirit. But then the emphasis you hear a little bit more on what we're talking about tonight. Let us walk. So walk or walking in the Spirit is the what of improving our baptism. Tonight we look a little bit more at what I'm calling the how of the walk. Last week was the what. It's a walk. This week we look at how do we walk? How do we walk? And again, that's really the middle of the section of the larger catechism we'll be looking at and breaking down question and answer 167. Turn there with me, please, and we'll look at that together. I'll read the whole answer, but we'll be looking at the middle section. How is our baptism to be improved by us? The needful but much neglected duty of improving our baptism is to be performed by us all our life long, especially in the time of temptation and when we are present at the administration of it to others, by serious and thankful consideration of the nature of it and of the ends for which Christ instituted it, the privileges and benefits conferred and sealed thereby, and our solemn vow made therein, by being humbled for our sinful defilement, our falling short of it, and walking contrary to the grace of baptism and our engagements, by growing up to assurance of pardon of sin and of all other blessings sealed to us in that sacrament, by drawing strength from the death and resurrection of Christ, into whom we are baptized for the mortifying of sin and quickening of grace, and by endeavoring to live by faith, to have our conversation in holiness and righteousness, as those that have therein given up their names to Christ, and to walk in brotherly love, as being baptized by the same Spirit into one body. Walk in the Spirit, and what will that look like, essentially, is what we consider tonight. That is, how do we walk more specifically? won't be exhaustive, but it'll give us those main categories to consider. How do we improve our baptism? Remembering that baptism is a means of grace, and thus improving our baptism will help us grow in grace. Does anyone not need to grow in grace in here? I trust we're all going to not raise our hands. We all need to grow in grace, so may we give ourselves to this tonight. May we give ourselves to what Paul is saying in Ephesians 5:15-16. Here's what he is essentially saying. Paul commands Christians to walk carefully as wise men who understand that time is ticking away. Let me read that again. I think some of you might have missed it. Paul commands Christians to walk carefully as wise men who understand that time is ticking away. He says, redeem the time. The days are evil. Redeem means to make the most of it, because time is wearing out. Any moment, judgment day is coming. You see, the days are evil. Thus make the most of your time, because you don't have much time. It's getting closer and closer to like it is the days of the flood. Peter tells us it'll be very much like that in the end times, which we are in. And in the end, there won't be many of us left. It becomes a darker and darker world. Less and less time before the judgment. How will you live in such a time? How will you walk in such a time? If you knew that this nation or this church or your family was about to die, how would you walk? If you knew you were walking in a minefield that could destroy you at any moment, how would you walk? Paul is commanding Christians to walk carefully as wise men who understand that time is ticking away. And to walk carelessly is to get your leg blown off. J.G. Voss writes this, as baptism stands for salvation from sin, improving our baptism involves taking salvation from sin seriously in actual living experience. Living is movement. A lack of movement is death, or at best what Paul says right in the immediate context, wake up, you sleeper. Living is movement. Living is walking. Walking, though, with direction, walking with an intention to survive the dangerous place you find yourself living. And so, the message for you tonight is what Paul says in his text here tonight. In summary, walk circumspectly. Walk circumspectly. Use the means of grace that you would persevere unto the end. Walk circumspectly. Walk considerately for Christ. We first think about it like that with our catechism. Walk considerately for Christ. The catechism says, how do you improve your baptism? By serious and thankful consideration. When you hear those words, serious and thankful consideration of the nature of it and of the ends for which Christ instituted it, the privileges and benefits conferred and sealed thereby, and our solemn vow made therein, which we continue to ratify every time we take the Lord's Supper. We were in Romans 6 for the last part of this text, and we're given the verses a lot through the catechism. I only give them to you here, verses 3 to 5. So many of us, as were baptized unto Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life in the likeness of his resurrection. Walk in newness of life, the likeness of his resurrection. You've died to the dead world. You're now alive in Christ, and you're supposed to walk that way. So think of it this way. It's not the walk of the living dead. You know, hopefully you're not watching these kind of movies, but you see commercials for them. You know, the zombie walk. Yeah. Too many Christians are walking like that. And it's horrible. It's not the walk of the living dead. It is the walk of the resurrected living. It's not a walk of dead stares into the distance. It's a walk of a glad gaze on the horizon. Thomas Ridgely puts it this way. Your walk is one that you would be found to adore the persons in the Godhead whose name and glory are mentioned in baptism. Practical religion will be promoted in all its branches when we consider that we are not our own. Does that sound familiar? This morning's text. A continuous quote. Practical religion will be promoted in all its branches when we consider that we are not our own, and therefore dare not think of living as we list. That is, dare not think of living as we want to. He continues to say, or of serving diverse lusts and pleasures, but that we are obliged to make His revealed will, whose we are, and whom we desire to serve, the rule of our actions. Some people are very offended when you suggest or challenge them about whether they're a Christian. But it can't be helped because of the walk. If we are Christians, it will be seen in our actions, our walk with Christ. And beloved, you must be acutely aware that you are on a pilgrimage to the celestial city, and this is not your home. And you need to be thankful that you find yourself on the way to the celestial city. Keep in mind Pilgrim's Progress and all those things that kept taking him off of his walk. Be thankful that Christ keeps calling you to walk the narrow way that leads to life, for few there be that find it. Walk humbly before Christ. Walk humbly before Christ. The Catechism reads, we improve our baptism by being humbled, for our sinful defilement, our falling short of, and walking contrary to the grace of baptism and our engagements. You and I live in a nation and in a world that does not want you to ever consider guilt or feeling guilty. But you and I are guilty. You and I constantly break covenant. And it is a good thing. It is improving our baptism to deal with it, to confess it, to cry out to God for mercy, to thank Him for His mercy, to recognize our need to do better and to walk better and more closely with Him. The world doesn't want you for a moment to consider you're doing anything wrong. But God will call you to recognize how much you need to improve your walk. If you are to improve your baptism, and if you are to make it and persevere. Ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? Or as he writes in Ephesians, walk as the Gentiles. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3. This was written to who? This was written to the church. This was written to Christians who don't think they have to be told to improve their walk. They boast, the Corinthians, of how spiritual they are and how they got it together. And Paul spends almost all his time writing to them saying, no, look at your walk. You're a mess. We don't like to hear that. We don't like to consider that our walk needs to be fixed. We walk with a limp. A limp because we're tied to the world and unequally yoked because we're proud. Don't walk with a chip on your shoulder. Don't walk with glaring eyes. Rather, walk with your head bowed and longing eyes. Walk with a memory of what you've done. Walk with a sense of conviction about what you're doing. Walk with a conviction about what you're planning to do. Walk with a conviction of all these things and confess it now before the Lord. And change your direction. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness. We lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. 1 John 1, verses 6 and 7. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You have to, again, walk humbly before Christ and confess where you are walking in the flesh, and then turn to Him and ask the Holy Spirit to grab you and pick you up and help you instead walk in the Spirit. And if you walk in the Spirit truly, you will not continue to serve the lust of your flesh. Micah 6, verse 8, God has shown you what is good. God has shown you what He wants of you. Walk humbly. To walk humbly is to let go of where you've been walking and with whom, and to walk with God exactly where He says to go and how He says to get there. You see, the first sin and all sin is rebellion. It is saying, don't tell me what to do, and I won't do it. That's pride. But God calls you to walk in humility, which is to die to yourself, to pick up your cross, and to follow Him. Keeping your eyes off of yourself the whole way, and keeping your eyes entirely on Jesus Christ, seeking only His will and His glory. The thing that makes me the nervous, and I've learned in a short ministry, when someone starts to brag and point to themselves, look how much better I'm doing, they're going to fall. Because they're boasting in themselves. And it's all about themselves still. Thus God will let them fall to humble them until they truly become humble. When you live, however, for Jesus, and when you walk for and with Jesus, and you are walking simply to boast in Jesus, that should put a sanctified spring in your step. And if you're dragging your knuckles on the ground, dragging your feet, kicking around the dirt, not going anywhere, it's because it still is about you. And it's not about Jesus. Walk with conviction when it is about Jesus, with a sanctified spring in your step, because when it is walking for Jesus, it's a happy life. It's a wonderful walk. The world is lying to you. Walk with conviction because of Jesus. Walk with conviction because of Jesus. The Catechism reads, improve your baptism by growing up. Did you hear that? Taking a little bit out of context here, I'll put it in its context, but grow up. You see, infants, you know, they crawl, if they crawl at all. Toddlers sort of stumble. Adults walk. Improve your baptism by growing up to assurance of pardon of sin and of all other blessings sealed to us in the sacrament. Some of us, our walk isn't as good as it should be because we just can't believe we got this great walk. That we have this great Lord, that it's all, we're saved. But that's called, we have to walk by faith, that we would grow up to an assurance of the pardon of sin that we have. Romans 4, 11 and 12 in part. And Abraham received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, yet being uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, and the father of circumcision to them who also walk in the steps of that faith. Abraham's faith was so strong. You ever look at the map? Go back and look at the map where he leaves out of Ur, the land of the Chaldeans, all the way through Paddan Aram, down finally into Israel. That's what a walk looks like of faith. It moves and it goes somewhere entirely different and foreign. But it's based on faith. Walk with a sense of purpose. Walk as men and women, boys and girls on a mission who will not be steered off course in disbelief. Catechism says, improve your baptism by drawing strength from the death and resurrection of Christ, into whom we are baptized for the mortifying of sin and quickening of grace. That is, walk with confidence, not in yourself. That's how you fall. Walk with confidence in Jesus Christ. Walk with confidence in His covenant of grace. Step forward with spiritual eyes. He's really taking you to heaven. He's really taking you somewhere incredible, eternal, unchangeable, infinitely, perfectly, wonderfully good and holy and lovely. It really is worth walking there and against the grain of this world. Believe it. Believe it with all your heart that you walk with more conviction and deeper breath and a better gait. For we walk by faith, not by sight. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. We walk by faith. Still, walk carefully on Christ's narrow way. Walk carefully on Christ's narrow way. The Catechism reads, we improve our baptism by endeavoring to live by faith as those that have therein given up their names to Christ. You know, like the Roman soldiers, they were the best military group in the world because they were totally well-trained and sold out, and they just understood who their leader was. You just give up your names to Christ. You don't have any other name but Christian. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 12, walk worthy of God. You are the church militant in this earth. You get to rest in heaven as the church triumphant. You're marching on now, Christian soldiers, and marching on together. Walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. Walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Colossians 1, verse 10, Colossians 2, verse 6. Walk worthy of the Lord, walk in Him. As Jesus says in John 8, verse 12, if you are following Him, who is the light, you will not be found walking in darkness. 1 John 2, verse 6, he that saith he abideth in Him ought himself also so to walk, even as He walked. So there is, I think, some benefit to consider what was a bit of a cliche for a while, but I think it is helpful to consider, what would Jesus do? Or really better, to be knowing our Bibles well and say, okay, I'm told to walk as He walked. How did He walk? How did He live His life? Yes, He primarily came to be our Savior, but He also came to be our example. After all, He's the only man on earth that walked perfectly on it. And that's why He's able to carry us into heaven. So how does He walk? Walk like Him. And walk while you find yourself looking into the clouds. You see, walk as you are looking ahead and looking up, expecting Christ to come soon on those clouds. That'll affect how you walk. Walk also wearing His team's holy apparel, His white washed robes in His own blood that identify you as His wherever you go. The Catechism reads, you improve your baptism by endeavoring to have our conversation in holiness and righteousness. This is to reflect the image of God anew in Christ. The image of God is holiness, truth, holiness, true righteousness. And if we're in Christ, we start to walk and show that more and more. When it says to have our conversation in holiness and righteousness, let's remember, just as in our Bible, that conversation actually is a word that means our entire behavior, the way we carry ourselves. And it certainly includes how we speak, but it really includes how we behave, how we act, how we think. If you're going to improve your baptism, you will endeavor to have your whole behavior in holiness and righteousness. People will be able to pick you out of a crowd, you see. You walk like that and you will stand out. You walk as if you are wearing the robes of righteousness of Jesus Christ. You will be able to be identified very quickly. There'll be no mistaking you whether it's how you act in the supermarket or how you present yourself on Facebook, there'll be no mistaking you for a Christian if you are truly improving your baptism and walking in holiness and righteousness. Romans 13, verse 13. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 12. How do you walk? They both say, walk honestly. Walk honestly. I've often said one of the things that troubles me the most is how quickly Christians are ready and willing to lie. God calls you to walk honestly. He says it a couple of times in different letters. Walk honestly. Or as you sang tonight in Psalm 26, verses 11 and 12, if you're going to take this serious and say, yes, I will improve my baptism. I will improve my baptism, my Christian baptism. You will say these words for yourself. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Does that sound familiar? You ever see that? Where do you see that weekly? In your bulletin. It was there before I got here. Top left of your bulletin. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. You see, if you're walking with Christ, it will be a consistent, observably steady walk that continues to be recognizable and distinct as walking with the fathers of the faith who are said to have walked with God. It's not novel, it's not new, it's not popular. It will not get you into Hollywood, and it will not get you on Larry King Live, but it will get you into heaven. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ. Philippians 3:16-18. He's calling you to follow the best examples in the church because he weeps over very bad examples clearly in the church. And he weeps over such a wicked walk by those who would bear the name of Jesus Christ. And he says, don't follow them. Follow me. Follow we who have clearly been following after Christ, because it's a very discernible walk. Yes, we will fall maybe 7 times. But we'll keep getting up and we'll keep walking that way, the King's highway. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Consider that with the promised blessing of Galatians 6, verse 16. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. You see why you want to improve your baptism? If you walk according to that same rule, that narrow way of all of redemptive history and Scripture, you will find that you have peace, God's mercy upon you, the Israel of God. You see, a walk with the merciful God gets mercy. A walk of faith will be faithful. Thomas Ridgely writes this, "We are not to behave ourselves as unconcerned spectators." You know, that's what is lamented the most in the church by church leaders. Got a bunch of spectators. The average numbers are something like, I don't know, 5-10% of people in most churches really have much to do with the life of the church or do a whole lot of real service to come along and help the leaders. I'm not necessarily saying that of this church, but may you hear the quote again. We are not to behave ourselves as unconcerned spectators. You see, we must be walking. There are many verses in Ephesians about walking. It was a challenge not to quote all these verses about walking, Old and New Testament. There's a ton of them. But I do want to focus on all the verses leading into our verse tonight. It's the last verse that talks about walking. But as you've seen, as we've been reading through Ephesians in the evening, this is a theme that keeps coming up. Let's go back to chapter 2, verse 10 of Ephesians, see where we first hear the idea in terms of explicitly. It's there even more implicitly, but he keeps saying this word walk. Ephesians 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. How do you walk in the Spirit? By walking in good works. Now we really like to quote verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But most of us stop there, and we never bother to memorize. The whole point of it all is verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained, that we should walk in them. He is saving you to walk in good works. Look ahead to chapter 4, verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And we've seen that idea earlier in some of these verses. Walk worthy of God. Walk worthy unto the Lord. Here he says, walk worthy of the vocation you've been called. What is that? Christian. Walk worthy of Christianity. Walk worthy of who you say you are. Walk like a Christian. You know, there is that phrase, if it speaks like a duck, right? Or quacks like a duck, I guess, looks like a duck, and what? Walks like a duck, it's probably a duck. If you speak like a Christian, if you talk like a Christian, if you walk like a Christian, and you walk with Christians, you'll be walking worthy of the vocation that you've been called to, which is Christianity. Now, verse 17 of chapter 4, and we've been here recently. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Then he goes on to describe quite a bit of that in chapter 4, and as we saw tonight reading verses 3 through 20 of chapter 5. Don't walk like the Gentiles. Don't walk like the world, in the vanity of their mind, which means emptiness. There's nothing really there. They have an empty walk because they have empty heads and empty hearts, not full of the Lord and of His Scripture. Don't walk like that. Chapter 5 that we're in tonight, verse 2, which we read last week. Let me start with verse 1 because it has this idea of walking in the terms of following. And then we get into verse 2 with the word explicitly walk. Be ye therefore, again chapter 5 verses 1 and 2. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Walk in love as Christ walked. What does that mean? Let's think about this a little more. We need a little more help with the how of walking. Christ says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He says that the greatest commandments have to do with loving God with everything in you and loving your neighbor as yourself. So what is a walk in love as Christ walked in love? It's the Ten Commandments. And you've just heard a whole lot of explanation of those Ten Commandments for over a year in this larger catechism series. You want to know how to walk? Improving your baptism? There it is. You got a lot to work with. Build yourself up to it. I was talking with Pastor Mac this week, who you know had a kidney transplant. We were at the pregnancy care clinic, South Bay Expansion Clinic meeting, and he walks a lot. I was telling him he needs to hook up with Elder Renner. And he was going to go to the mountains, I think, even this weekend, and his goal was soon to walk 20 miles. One day, 20 miles. This is a man who, not so long ago, Elder Huffmaster, myself, and Mr. Delgado visited in the bed, and he couldn't even get out of bed, let alone walk. And now, by God's grace, he's walking, and he's walking the mountains, and he's walking up to 20 miles soon, and he's walking a ton of miles every day. But he speaks on, I need to get up to the 20 miles. You see, you got to build yourself up to it. Remember, it's a marathon, Hebrews 12. You build your stamina. You keep working on these things, getting to know them better, walking more and more after Christ. You can do it. Verse 8 of chapter 5. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Beloved, does that really need to be explained? This idea of darkness and this idea of light. Walk as children of light. The chapter also talks about how light exposes darkness. So maybe we can think about it a little bit as if you're walking in the darkness, you're walking with and like the cockroaches, scurrying about and running anytime God's light shines on your behavior to try to hide. If you walk as children of light, you've got nothing to hide. You can stand in the center of the room and praise His name. We get back to our verse tonight, verses 15 and 16, but we look at the word walk in verse 15. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. This word in the Greek for circumspectly means to walk cautiously. It means to walk, could be translated accurately. It means to walk carefully. It means to walk with the idea of having a watchfulness to guard against surprise. You know, like when you're walking down a dark alley at night, especially if you're not exactly sure where you are, but you think you know, you're walking carefully, keeping your eyes ahead, keeping your eyes on both sides, careful to walk broadly around that corner, not just straight around it and walk into something and run into it, you know. Or just think in terms of walking down your hallway at night. I do this a lot because I just have learned the hard way in my klutziness, or when I'm walking through, as I've mentioned before, the fireside room from my office at night when there's no light, it's gotten dark. I actually walk really slowly, and I walk with my hands in front of my face, because a couple of times, wham, I've knocked my nose in the corner of the wall, find myself on the floor crying. Or a lot of times I'm that close to having done that, and first thing I thank you, God, for protecting me. I would have really hurt myself. And so I've learned to just, you know, keep this on. Or, smarter yet, you know, I might keep one of the lights on if I remember the time when the sun goes down, or keep the door open to the hallway that lets the light in from outside. Walking carefully so as not to be surprised, to be taken out by what you didn't see coming because you weren't looking. Again, like you're walking down a dark hallway. Now look at verse 14 and 16. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. The word of God in your eyes, Christ in your eyes. Psalm 119, verse 105. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Hold Christ and his word before you, because it's dark. Verse 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The days are dark. May we not talk about denying common grace and live like we believe it, yoking ourselves with everything in the world. And everybody will look and say, man, Puritan? I don't see the Puritan in the walk. It's a dark world. It's a dark world. And it is growing darker every minute. And you'll be lost in that darkness if you do not walk carefully. Back to verse 8. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. It is unwise not to walk carefully. It is unwise to walk as if you're not walking through a dark world. It'll get you killed. It is unwise. Look at verse 17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Not understanding the will of the Lord is unwise. Not studying it, the fear of the Lord, the beginning of wisdom, is what gets you through this world. You know, sometimes when some of us end up in accidents, such as myself, I just had to say, that was stupid. There's a reason I have a scar on the bottom of my lip from a few weeks ago. I just made a stupid mistake. And it was because I was rushing and I wasn't being careful. And I'm still getting used to the scar. I'm hoping I won't feel it as much down the road. But you know, you have these scars sometimes because you're walking stupidly. That is foolishly. Unwise, as if you're not walking in a dark place, as if this is not almost the end of it all. Don't walk unwise. Verse 15, our text tonight, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Or it could be translated, not as unwise, but as wise. Proverb 13, verse 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. How do you improve your baptism? How do you walk Walk with wise men. Paul's already talked about that in terms of follow our example and not their example. Walk with us, not with them. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. The proverb goes on to give you the other side of the coin. But a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Paul talks about that in the New Testament. Don't be unequally yoked. He says elsewhere, don't be foolish, again, right? Evil communications, or that is evil company, corrupts good character. And Proverbs says the end of that is you'll be destroyed. Again, Proverbs 13:20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Fools walk against Christ. Fools walk in darkness. Wise men still seek after him. Wise men still follow him. Baptism is a means of grace. Improving your baptism is a means of your spiritual survival, that you would persevere unto the end. Whether you have been baptized as an infant, as a covenant child, or as a first generation believer, as an adult, mind Philippians 2 verse 12. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And to do this, you must walk circumspectly. Lord God, help us to walk carefully, to walk in the Spirit, to walk in the light of Christ as children of the light. Help us not to walk unwisely and foolishly. Help us to walk with the wise. Hold our hands, lift us up, and bring us into such walks with such people. May we walk together in the Spirit. May we improve our baptism together. May we walk with the wise and abandon the fools, that we would not be destroyed, but that we would enjoy indeed the perseverance of the saints with whom we walk. Help us to walk so very carefully, making the most of these last dark days that are very quickly dwindling away as the clock of your timeline ticks quicker and quicker, soon to stop forever. May we find ourselves walking to and into the celestial city of eternal life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.